I need you to agree to let me speak about 8 or 9 hours. No, don't be laughing because I'm serious. About 8 or 9 hours, and we'll do it in about 25 or 30 minutes. How's that? Does that sound like a deal? 8 or 9 hours and 30 minutes. Roy Walker, gospel talker. I can talk quick, you know. That's what happens when you work on the radio, when you do the radio work. You talk a load of nonsense. I was doing a game, in a European game, and a man said to me afterwards about, he says, Roy, how on earth did you get all them foreign names right? Kozanovich, Habliablich, Mihailovich. How did you get them all right? And I said to him, how do you know they're right? And he just looked at me as if to say, do you make it up? I said, no, I don't actually, but it's thank goodness for the phonetic alphabet. But it's good to be back, and it's good to be with you. If you have a book called the Bible, open it at Acts chapter 17. Paul's on one of his missionary journeys, first missionary journey, and he's making his way. He's encountered the Bereans, those who searched the scriptures daily to see if everything that they were being told was so. And on a journey while he's waiting for others, he arrives at Mars Hill at the Areopagus. And this is the place where all the learned gentry, intelligentsia, the academia, all the brain boxes, those that would dispute anything and everything. That sounds a bit like my wife, but outside of that, they all mass here, and they've such a thirst for knowledge that they dispute everything that's topical and not so topical. And they encounter, Paul encounters them, but first having encountered an inscription. And if you are at Acts chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 22. So the background is just that. Paul is going to encounter a lot of these people, Stoics, Epicureans, those who don't suffer fools gladly. And the Bible records this. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the entrance of thy word doth indeed give light, bringeth light, and giveth understanding. And I pray tonight that you would open the understanding of our hearts, that we might receive the engrafted word of God, able to make us wise, even to the very salvation of our souls. And so tonight, have your way. Holy Spirit, move among us from seat to seat, from heart to heart, doing what only you can do, drawing people to see he who is high and lifted up, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and honor, now and forevermore. Amen. So you might have got it 8 or 9 hours and 25 or 30 minutes. The first hour, realize. You need to realize, I need to realize that the end of things will come. So my background's football. I think I'm the answer to a quiz question as being the oldest outfield player to play in the what's now called the Champions League, was the European Cup when I played as player manager for Crusaders. And we were out in Georgia playing against Dynamo Tbilisi. And if you follow Rangers, they had a few of the Kinkladzis in their ranks back in the day, very skillful players. And I was playing, and of course I should have realized that at 39, I'm not really as fit as I used to be. I can't really get about the pitch as I used to. But I played for Crusaders, who on one hand we were called the God Squad, on the other hand we were called the Hatchet Men. So I used to kick people in love, if that makes sense. There's nothing wrong with fighting a good fight, but sometimes we may have taken it to the extremes. But out in Georgia, we were losing the game 4-1. I was too stubborn to take myself off because as the manager, you decide who stays on and who makes the substitutions. But I jumped on the halfway line with one of the Kinkladzis. And we both jumped at disputing the header, tried to head the ball. And I actually headed the ball, but I headed it the wrong way. I headed it back towards my own goal. And we both fell. And by the time I was getting up, he was taking the ball around our goalkeeper and scoring. And he just ran back to me and he tapped me on the head. And I don't know what he said, but it was very condescending, I'm sure. He tapped me on the head. But I got my own back in that game because I actually sat in the ball. 5-1, game was over. And I sat on the ball. I literally sat on the ball and said to him, come on, try and take it off me. Because I was going to kick him if he had to come over near me. But what I realized about that game, I was finished as a player. That my playing career was really over a few years ago, or a few years before that. But it was our senior players who had said to me, boss, play. We need your organization. We need you to talk to us from the position that you hold on the pitch. And even though I gave in to that, I realized, do you know what? I'm not fit to do this anymore. I need to make way for someone else. And there's a lesson in that, even for those of us in church life. There's a time to know when it is to pass that baton. Paul, the great apostle, did it with Timothy and with others. Moses did it with Joshua. All through Scripture, we have people who realize that I can still play a part. I still have a role to play. But it may not be the role that I once played. And that, I think, is wisdom. But do you realize here tonight that the world in which we live isn't going to get better? It's not going to get any better. But yet I and those who have faith in Jesus Christ possess the greatest hope. I refuse to be despondent. I refuse to be downbeat. And do you know why that is? Because I've read the end of this book. And we win. This is not a game that I'm involved in like a football match where you don't really know the outcome. This is not a game like a football match where there's shocks. The World Cup, Japan beating Germany, was it? And some of the junior or smaller nations beating the bigger nations. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. That can happen. But there are no shocks, nor should there ever be a shock if you study this book. This book holds my future. I have placed my entire trust in the author of this book. There are 66 books in this book. They're penned by 40 different authors, but they're all inspired by God the Holy Spirit. There is really only one author, and it's a book about one person. And do you realize that unless you recognize who that person is Jesus Christ, none other. Paul entered that arena, that auditorium, if you like, to listen to what the people were saying. And he effectively said to them, you're worshiping something. You're worshiping an unknown God. I'm going to tell you who it is. You see, I realized as a young man, age 15, I realized that I wasn't right with God. I realized that I was going to be a footballer. I was at Manchester United from I was 12 until I was nearly 16. Every time the kids were off on holiday, I went to Old Trafford. I trained with Manchester United. And everybody thought I was going to be a footballer. But I realized that when they were sending me home for the last time that I wasn't going back. I realized that I wasn't good enough. I didn't want to accept that, but it was the truth. I realized there was something that I couldn't do. I wasn't going to be satisfied. But at 15, I had placed my trust in Jesus Christ. And He satisfies. And you know, I'll give up football, and I have done. I'll give up other things, but I will not give up on the one who will never give up on me. The one who has saved me, kept me. The one who I love more than anyone else ever. And I recognize them. And I want to ask you, there's a verse in Acts chapter 4, it's the 12th verse, it says, "For there's no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, save the name of Jesus." And we need to recognize Him now. Because if we don't recognize Him now, He will not recognize us then. And we could come on to a verse about that, that if you were following our reading, it would have effectively said that in the scriptures that we read. Do you realize all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God? All of us, from Adam right the way through, all of us, we're fallen. We're a fallen people. And we need someone to restore us. Realize, recognize that that person is not made, not an idol made with hands. You know, Manchester United, I don't know how anybody could like them because their logo's a red devil. How could you like a devil? Like, come on. I support Spurs. Theirs is a chicken. So it doesn't get much better. But the thing is, when we acknowledge, when we recognize the one true God, not a God made with hands, not an idol that we would worship, but the one true God, then everything that's happening in our world makes sense. It's only through the lens of Scripture that I can make sense of what's going on in this sin-stained world. It's only through the lens of Scripture that I can see where the goodness of God really is and where the deception of the enemy lies. And He's good at that. Do you recognize that it's only Jesus Christ that saves? Do you recognize that? You need to recognize that. You need to realize and recognize. In Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15. Do you recognize Him? Do you know? Smart Alec said to me, "How do you know there's a God, Walker? How do you know there's a God?" That's the easiest question to answer. And I usually answer it like this. I was talking to him this morning. "What?" I said, "Would you like to hear what he said?" "What?" Every time I open that book, every time, without exception, God speaks. Every time. "Let he who hath ears hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It's not possible for God not to speak. It's entirely possible that we don't listen. Recognize His voice. Recognize that still small voice. Hear that voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Do you recognize the voice of God? Do you recognize the goodness of God? Realize, recognize. How do you do that? Repent. Repent. The time has come, or the time is fulfilled, Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It's as simple as that. Repent. We get the word penthouse. Same root, same origin. Penthouse is at the very top of the shop. It's it's that beautiful apartment that nobody can afford, right at the very top. And it's the one that's closest to heaven. And God's saying, "Get closer to me. Come up." He already came down. We need to raise up. Repent. Come back into that relationship. "Except ye repent," says the Bible, "ye shall likewise perish." Repentance is God's method of us getting right with him. It's returning to where we ought to be. It's like, and I said this before, I'm on a prophecy series at the moment. It started in the garden with the tree of life, and it ends in the garden with the tree of life. And we journey through the different times, different seasons in life, different seasons in history. And all prophecy is history written in advance. So we know some things are going to come down the track. We know what's going to happen. The Bible has told us that. And God is still reaching out in this age of grace, saying to us, all of us, repent. Repent that your sins might be forgiven. Repent and be baptized. Repent. Turn back to me. We've turned away from God because he's near. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. And that was referencing Adam. That Adam was going to die. Man is going to die. But Christ lives. In him, didn't we read it? In him we live and move and have our being. In him. I have never been more alive, ever. I have never been more alive than when I'm with God's people singing the praises of God. In a prayer meeting where I know two or three have gathered in his name. So there, the promise is that he's with us by his spirit. I have never been more alive than when I'm in church. A man said to me only recently, he said, "Oh, Roy, you'll be back in football. It's in your blood." I said, "Sure, I got a blood transfusion." He said, "What? Are you not well?" I said, "No, I got a blood transfusion years ago." "What do you mean?" I said, "I have new blood. I have royal blood flows through my veins. I don't love football. I like football. I love Jesus Christ. I love what he did for me and for you." Realize, recognize, repent, receive. John 1:11, he came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the legal right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Do you know what we've done too often? We have complicated the scriptures. There is nothing more simple than saying, seeing the word of God for what it is, seeing the God of the word in the word of God, and responding to him, receiving him as your own. I like to say it like this. I'm Kitchen House Reared. If you know Glentoran, if you know the Oval, my primary school was Mersey Street Primary, right beside the Oval. And our street was yard walls and glass on top of the walls and outside to go to the bathroom. You kids don't know you're living. But it was great. And when people say to me out of a modern version of the Bible, "In my Father's house are many rooms," I say, read the AV or the New King James, because this Kitchen House Reared kid is going to a mansion. "In my Father's house are many mansions." That sounds better than a room, doesn't it? A bed set. Who wants to go to a bed set when you can go to a mansion? Glory to God. I can receive that. I have that. Why do I say that to you? With confidence, which literally means living with faith. That's why. Confideo. I live with faith. The currency that I live by is faith. Going to God without faith is like going to the shop without money. You can't purchase one thing. But if you go to God with faith, if you go to God in your desperation and repent of your sin, for it is by grace you're saved through faith. You need faith. And then you can appropriate the blessedness of that heaven, even here on the earth. You can live with joy immeasurable amidst. Do you know in the worst of times we can have the best of things? Do you know as a Christian, no matter how bad it is, it's good for us? Not that we don't have to go through the trouble. Of course we do. Jesus told us that in John 16:33. One of the last things he said, "In the world you will have tribulation." Thlipsis. Trouble. Everyday troubles. "But be of good cheer." I love that bit. "I have overcome the world." So if he overcame the world, then we can overcome the world. Why? Because we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ.
You are a royal member of his household. When you realize that he's the answer, when you recognize his deity, when you repent of your sin, when you receive him into your heart, that's what happens. So I want to say this to you. As a fifth hour, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Did you notice in our reading that there was three responses, if you like? Some said, well, rubbish. Some said, well, we'll hear you again on this matter. And we don't know whether they ever did. But others believed and followed. And so what will your response be tonight? I'm going to assume for one moment that you're not going to say rubbish. I'm going to give you the benefit of that doubt because you're in church, so you believe in a God. You believe in this same Jesus. You believe that there is a God in heaven who loves, who gave his Son. But what will your response be tonight? Because to remain neutral is to say no. But you can respond in faith because the God who we read about tonight, if you again tuned into the scriptures, he's not far away. He's near. Only whilst we live through this age of grace. He is not near when we die. He is not near when we're separated. When the spirit leaves the body, that's death. The Bible talks about three deaths. There's a natural death. There's a spiritual death. And there's an eternal death. But did you notice what the Lord said? Did you notice what his word said? Because it couldn't be clearer. It said that he has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness through the man whom he hath ordained. That would be Jesus Christ. And I love this emphasis. And he proved it. He demonstrably proved it. How? Because he raised them from the dead. Paul is saying to the Stoics, to the Epicureans, to the learned men of their day, to every scholar who wants to be pompous peacock, strutting his stuff, Paul says, this same Jesus, this God who you don't know, is my God. And he proved it. And Pastor has a background in law. And there's a lovely legal statement made. It's only one time in Scripture it's made. And it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And it talks about the resurrection. It says that it was proven by many infallible proofs. And infallible proofs is a legal term, which means absolutely no doubt as proven in a court of law. Absolutely no doubt. And when we, the redeemed, there's another R. When we, the redeemed, stand before Jesus, stand before Father God, our advocate has already interceded for us. And because of his resurrection, because of his crucifixion first and his resurrection, we will be set free. We will be with God for all the unending ages. That's worth the next R, rejoicing. That's worth rejoicing. So I want to ask you, will your response bring you much rejoicing? Will you leave here tonight? I'll give you another hour now to think about it. Will you return from this place with a heavy heart because you've not said yes to Jesus Christ? You've not received the free gift? A gift only needs you to do one thing with it. You can't earn a gift. You can't work hard for a gift or harder than the next man. The gift is offered freely. You just have to receive the gift of God. The wages of sin, death. But the gift of God, eternal life. And even tonight, even in Larne, even in Norn Arran, even where we are, Jesus Christ is not far away. He's near to everyone who calls upon his name. So what will your response be? There are many infallible proofs. We could go on and on and on, but we don't need to. This is personal for you and for me. And I need to address, because I'm mindful I'm only addressing two types of people, those that are in Christ and those that aren't. There isn't a third group in this house tonight. You can't be almost pregnant. Every woman knows that, right? You either are or you're not. You might think you are, but you know, either are or you're not. This is the simplest book I have ever read, the Bible. It is so simple. Often it leaves me with a binary choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Even I get that. Before I hope, behold, I've sat before thee life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. I would that you would choose life, that both thy and thy seed might live. And the Lord saying, I wish that you would respond tonight by saying yes, so you can receive and rejoice. And here's what happens when you rejoice. In Luke 15, the lost sheep, there was rejoicing in heaven even when the sheep returns. Metaphor for a soul coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And the 70, Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. And the 70 disciples who were sent out to minister and witness, and the 70 returned with joy. Glory to God. With joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus saith unto them, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you through my name. Rejoice rather because your name is written in heaven. How good is that? You see, here's why. I'm going to quote Job. Job went through the mill. Job said it like this. Job 13. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand again upon the earth, and I shall see him face to face. And that is the reward. There's another R. That is the reward for every saint, every child of God who responded in faith and putting their trust in Jesus Christ. And if that's not enough to get me up in the morning singing the hallelujah chorus, then I don't know what is, because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. No doubt, no room for doubt. I know that he lives. And I know that he loves you. I know that he's a holy God. So if I can wrap this up, that's not an R, but it sounds like an R. If I wrap this up by saying, what will your response be? Or let me put it another way. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? If your time comes, if the end of all things which is at hand, judge John 7, where the Lord said, my time has not come, but your time is always here. You should always be ready. And I thank God for Lorne Mission Hall, for the people who I know are ready, for the people who are faithful in proclaiming the gospel, for the who open their doors. They'll invite people in. God bless you, and never stop doing that. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, here's an R for the church, you shall reap if ye faint not. And that just literally means don't slow down. Fainting isn't when we Sarah first set eyes on me and she fainted with a beauty. Or sorry, that was the other way around. It was me and her. Faint just means swoon. Faint means don't slow down. In the Bible terms, faint means to the child of God, don't slacken the pace. Keep going. Don't be saying, well, sure, we used to do it, and it's not really worth it. Keep doing it. In due season, you shall reap. Not wonderful. Not a wonderful promise from God. So realize, recognize, repent, receive, rejoice. Don't return the way you came if you don't know him. Respond in faith. So what is your response? I wonder, is there a realization of our condition? Is there a recognition that only Jesus, he's sin's only solution? Is there a reception of his word? Thy word is truth, John 17. Is there a response by saying yes to his invitation? Is there repentance in their house tonight on the new life? Is there a rejoicing with the angels as people come and say yes to Jesus Christ? Either way, you will make that response. Either way, God has given that to you and saying, follow me. Follow my son. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Why? Because today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. 1 Corinthians. Now. Don't put off what needs done now. So the clock's ticking. 8 hours. 28 minutes. Even I can see that with my bad eyes. Are you going to return the gift or retain the gift? That response is yours. So I need to ask you, how are you going to respond? One response will lead to great rejoicing. And I can promise you this. The other response will lead to great regret. Don't regret the decision that you're going to make tonight. Don't regret it. Don't go back and say, if only. There are 1,522 ifs in the Bible. And they all carry a condition, well, nearly all. If my people, if you. What if you don't tonight? May you get another chance? Only the grace and mercy of God will determine that. No man can determine that. We don't know. We wouldn't presume to know. But I'm encouraging you tonight to respond in faith and don't regret a bad decision. And rejoice with the rest of us. The ball is in your court to mix sport. It's like the Lord has batted the ball to you and said, go ahead, what are you going to do with this? It's over to you. He has done a finished work at Calvary. He made a way even when there seemed to be no way. He is no longer to you, even tonight, an unknown God. I cannot be any clearer in telling you that's none other than Jesus Christ. God's own Son. That's the same Jesus, Acts 1:11, who's going to return in glory for his own people. That's who we're talking about here. But if you're not ready, he's not returning for you. So no regrets, church. No regrets. Come to faith. Come here. This is a safe place for you to be. This is a place where you'll be built up in your faith, where the Bible will be the solid rock of the foundation that you will learn of and take it and hold it dear. So I want to ask you tonight, will you respond in faith? Will you? Do you know, Pastor Paul, any of the leaders here, me, we can't create an anxious thought, not so much as that. But if you have heard from God tonight, through his word, through singing, through what we shared together, then there's only one sensible way for you to respond. And that's receive the love of Christ into your heart. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that your mercy precedes your judgment. Lord, even in that great book of Hebrews, you've said it's appointed on the man once to die. And Lord, only if it stopped there, but it doesn't. It is appointed on the man once to die and afterwards the judgment. And even in our reading, Father, we thank you that you reminded us again that you have appointed a day for every one of us when you will judge in righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only one, the only God, the only deity to defeat death. I thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would move upon hearts here. Lord, my sense is as well that there's some of us even that would, who are in the faith would be growing weary and we're wondering what it's all about. Let's press on, Lord. I pray you would instill and inspire and enthuse tonight the hearts of your people to go deeper, to go further, to believe by faith that there is a harvest ready for them to reap if they faint not. Lord, I bless you for this place, thanking you. And I pray for Pastor Paul. I pray you would bless his ministry. You'd watch over him and his family, guard him, and that the church would get round your servant and and build that shield, that hedge of protection through prayer and ministry and fellowship together. But Father, our heart tonight is that you would redeem a precious soul tonight. Draw somebody onto yourself. And as we would stand and converse maybe over some fellowship and the moments to come, let us be thinking about what eternity means. And let no one, Father God, leave this place without making that right decision and to be ready one day to face you. Lord, hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.